Okay, so we're learning Derech Hashem. We're up to Perigim, the first section of the Sefer, of the four sections, and we're up to Gimel, the third chapter, and first, and we're up to after really setting down the essential thought in the first two Prokim, so the third Perig starts dealing with mankind, or if you prefer to say humankind, I don't mind. In the first week of the fourth hour, in the first parakim, he talked about the idea of Hashem created this special bia, mankind, in order to be native, to give Tuvan pleasure, in the Mesul term, it's about pleasure, and the Derech Hashem talks about tolls, but it's basically the same thing. When we're told and we emulate Hashem, and we become spiritual, and we bond with Hashem, the way he told the bonds with through acting spiritually, that's the mitzvahs, doing his with this world, everything will be elaborated on. So we bond with him, it's called Dveikus Pashem, we the Neshatahim, and an immense pleasurable experience. We don't, it's hard to imagine. Maybe we have moments of pleasure in our lives that are spiritual, not physical. You know, you could sometimes buy an eila, maybe, or buy a nice kumsitz. If you ever, you know, you feel lifted, you feel spiritual, you feel connected to Hashem. So that is a small inkling of the pleasure that will be forever and ever and ever, as the neshama bonds to Hashem. But in order for that pleasure to be, Hashem only wants to give the greatest pleasure. He doesn't deal with half measures, and therefore we have to earn it. We earn it by acting a certain way, and he tells us how to act, and we thus become more spiritual people as we act spiritually. And he says what Hashem set up for that we earn it, we be as pleasurable as it could be, because that's the nature of a freebie. When you earn it, it's you, and he also adds in a paragraph, again, this is in the first three prokim, a deep thought that when we earn it, then we are more like Hashem than if it's given to us, because we chose to be that way. So we're even more, it's even more appropriate, it's even more fitting. We cleave and bond and become part of Hashem. Again, we don't really imagine what that means, but we know that it's the purpose, but the Sisharim's sentence is that a person was created to have that pleasure. To have that pleasure. L'hisanag al Hashem is the way the Mesul Sisharim, that's the Ramchal wrote that sefer too, obviously. So, l'hisanag al Hashem. So Hashem created this a body and a soul. The soul is, now look, the Ramchal's Shita is that what's going to cling and cleave to Hashem and by that immense pleasure is the body and soul together. After Tchias HaMeisim, the Ramchal's picture of history is that Olam Zeh is where you earn your stripes. This is the Olam, the world where you are struggle. You struggle to be spiritual, not physical. He will explain why one has to die, rid the guf, body of certain impurities that became with the chet of Adam HaRishon. That's why Mis was a consequence of Adam HaRishon's chet. It's not just a punishment, but it was a necessary step in order to reach the ultimate goal, which is Tchias HaMeisim, which again, according to the Ramchal, and really most Rishonim, most of them, that there's, so what, you know, the words are Olam Haba, Le'asud Lavo, but the holding pattern, when we talk about a person dying and the guf is in the ground and the neshama is in shamayim, that's a waiting station. You're waiting. It's very pleasurable also, but the ultimate nitzchius and bonding and is with the guf, to the, because the neshama has the power to purify the guf. That's the Ramchal's view, and it's fair. Doesn't mean you're going to look the same when you look in a mirror. We don't know how physical the guf will be. The the guf will be, we know what it means for the neshama to become unfortunately physical. When a person is matame his neshama, matamtem his neshama, and is involved in bad things, so it affects the neshama, it dims the neshama, it muddies the neshama, it warps the neshama. But the opposite is also true, and that we're right. You would be able to see it right now. We're purifying the becomes a spiritual essence too. Not such a crazy idea. The malachim have some form of essence. Most rishonim hold, but it's a spiritual essence, not a physical one. They have a physical state which is as close to spirituality as a physical can be, and it'll be forever and ever for Nitzius. So that's post Chias HaMeisim. It's Ramchal's and Ramban and many, many other Rishonim. Not the Rambams, but that's the Ramchal's view of history. There's Olam HaZeh, what we maybe call, oh, that's just a word, and the Guf is decomposing, and then together, and we're spiritual. So but the battle is an Olam HaZeh. What's going to win? Hashem Batuchus. The body can become spiritual, but that's because we control the body with our neshama, with our seichel. I'll be using the neshama and seichel also interchangeably, even though it's technically correct. But I will be using the body. Certainly left be. You say the body is not bad. It's because the neshama has the ability to affect the body and make it spiritual. So we're not throwing the body into the garbage. The body that did mitzvahs, the body that struggled, the body that worked to obey Hashem, will share in the reward. It's not like throwing that out in the garbage, and the neshama is going to reap the whole award. It wouldn't be such a bad thing, because when I say me, so I think of my goof. We all do. I think of what stares me back when I look in a mirror. But that's not really me. What's really me is my neshama. So it wouldn't really be that, it wouldn't be unfair really if the neshama was the only one to get the schar, because that's me. And we don't think of it that way, but that's Ram Chalker in any event. His picture is that the body shares in the reward because the neshama has the ability to purify, actualize the body. It's happening in the world, but we don't see it. We barely feel our neshama in this world. Like we're lucky, we're happy if we have moments of inspiration, moments of transcendence, moments where we feel connected to Hashem. We feel we have a neshama. It wasn't supposed to be that way, but that's what Adam Arishon. Unfortunately, that's the ramifications of Adam Arishon's chait. So Hashem made, and driving the world before the Marishon's Chet, a person's in a struggle, it's equally balanced. Like that wine they're advertising always. Perfectly balanced. The twins from France. Perfectly balanced. And the good is the neshama, the bad is the body, because left to its own devices, it's animalistic. And it's an equal balance, and a person chose. Adam was choosing. A person has the choice. He thus eats his own essence of spirituality, because Hashem was mechat free will in order to give the person the biggest possible tov and pleasure, which only come if a person creates himself, makes himself, chooses to do something which is really comprehensible. The Kabbalists talk about it a lot, because Hashem has to sort of being of something. There's some corner of this where Hashem does not hold sway. The person makes a choice, and Hashem is not there. Chas v'shalom. The Kabbalists talk about how that happens, they describe it. It's just, to me, it's just words. I mean, I don't know what they're talking about. But it is a problem, because mamish, we have free will, and that's part of Nasa Adam Ketzalmenu Kedemusenu. It's a tremendous chiddush, and if you have a philosophical mind, you can appreciate Tova, Hashem did with the world by creating such a situation where he withdrew from one part of the world where he has no say in the matter. He has a say. The Chaim Salvavus explains, for example, that I only get to choose, but whether I'll be able to carry out my choice is again up to Hashem. Maybe my car will break down and I won't be able to make it to shul. Maybe it'll be a traffic jam and I won't make it to the hospital to be mevakeh chola. Maybe out of my favorite kugel that I'm buying only for Onik Shabbos, of course. And Halavas involves Hashem much more in our choice. Why? Because he says it's only the choice. It's only the mental choice that we make. Hashem then decides if we're going to be able to carry it out or not, just as he decides everything else in the world. But that's really a side issue. The corner, of course, is much more smaller in Eichus. It's much more conceptual, it's more conceptual than real, because even as we act out our choices, it's also up to Hashem if it's going to happen or not. Hashem decides that also. Al Kaponim. So that's what we have. And now we're going to start. So that's the way it was supposed to be. And we are supposed to perfect our own neshamas and reap the benefits. Now we're starting again section 1, and it's paragimel and it's paragraph Dalid. And he says, you know, Hashem, again, he's at the very beginning, he's at the very basics. He doesn't want us to assume anything. That's what's so beautiful about the Ramchal. If you enjoy that type of analysis, he doesn't leave anything, no preconceived notions in the Ramchal. He tells her everything. So now he's going back and he's saying, you know, Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, and again, I'm using the word Olam Haba, in the Maral, in the Ramchal's world, that's after Tchias HaMeisim, they look different. It's as if, a very nice marshal, well, why don't we make the air conditioning? Certainly Hashem wants us to make the air conditioning. While we're learning, because we know that... Don't close the window so fast. I used to sit in Philadelphia Yeshiva. It's on and it's working. Please, no, that's not going to work. That's set and it can't be touched. Leave it. It's fine. Halavai, it's going to work. Don't close the window so fast. I sat for 4 years on the Philadelphia Yeshiva, and basically 2 years, and this is rapidly, but it did the window while. Meanwhile, outside it's cool. Close the window, the air goes on. So he says, here's the marshal of what he's about to tell us. It's really partial, but again, he doesn't take anything for granted. Let's say you have a very benevolent, give you everything top of the line, everything perfect, at best. So your workplace is going to look different than your vacation place that he sends you on vacation. Your workplace is going to have a state-of-the-art computer, state-of-the-art printer, best kind of chair, lighting, v'chulu. None of that's going to be in your vacation place that he sends you to. In the vacation place, it's going to be a 5-star hotel, it's going to be on the beach, you're going to see the waves rolling in, and it's going to be completely different. You're not going to have there the computer and the lighting and the desk. It's a different, because that's perfect for the workplace, and that's perfect for the vacation place. I'm calling the same thing, Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. What you need in Olam Hazeh to have the perfect conditions for the workplace in which you earn your reward is perfect for workplace, but it doesn't have any connection and it doesn't look anything like that in Olam Haba, which is the vacation place. You earn your reward. V'ulam Dalid, Kfi Hischalei Zmano, different time, the time, and by the way, he mentioned that of earning of working, of struggle, is limited. It didn't have to be that way. Ramchal takes nothing for granted. He says, look at Chesed Hashem. The time of struggle is short. 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, 80 years. 90, 120. Say 120, blink an eye. So the reward is eternity. The work, the trouble is for a limited period of time. That's also Chesed Hashem, he says. Fulam Kfiyas Chalei Zmano, just like it's different periods of time, the work time and reward time. And again, reward is not disconnected from, it's important to know that the reward is not disconnected from the work. The work is making yourself more spiritual. The work is having the seichel rule over the guf, being spiritual, and thus, really in this world, although we don't feel it, cleaving and bonding with Hashem. Kach roi sheyuschalef matzavo usha mikrav. Everything about Olam Hazeh and Olam Habo is also different. He calls man hishtadlus, that's the work that we're doing, the struggle. In etzorech sheyia betchuna achas, you have to have this world. You have to have food. You have to have working. You have to have being in a house. You have to have family. You have to have all that. That's the backdrop, the avira. You have to be in this world, because that's what the soyun is. That's what the struggle. You have to be in the physical world. What the Ramchal doesn't touch upon, which is mind-boggling, is that every person has a different struggle. Every neshama has a different struggle. The mitzvahs are a common denominator, but nobody would be creating here now or sitting anywhere in the world. Previously, history, a shaman exact struggle that I have. And every neshama has a different task, has a different, and the brilliance, the mind, and we're not even going into any of this, we're glossing over it. Ramchal makes it sound like everybody has the same struggle, but of course it's not true. Everybody has a different struggle, and how, you know, people say if you've the Torah, some people accuse, you know, religious Jews are robotic because they all have the same Torah, the same Shulchan Aruch. Yeah, some people have a different Shulchan Aruch. but basically it's the same Shulchan Aruch. You know, someone, a certain school here, has to teach from a halacha sefer. So they, hell, what are we going to do? We're Ashkenazi school. I said, the difference between Ashkenaz and Sfaradim is really in Nusach, in the Hagim. But you're learning Hilcha Shabbos. I said I have a Sefer of Halacha which has Ashkenazim and Sfaradim. You will need to find the difference. You know, and Bishul, there's a difference in one of things. It's not so different as you think. Anyway, what?
In Pesach, there's a big difference.
That's a minute. Anyway, so in this whole, it's really, we have the same Torah for everybody. Isn't this a different? So you will. But the task is way beyond should I eat bacon or not. It goes way beyond that. And even if it would be that, but every person would have a different struggle. One person would have taiva sachim, one person would than their neighbors, one person would, you know, just doesn't want to be told what to do. No one's going to tell me what to do. That's my teenager, yeah. And so everybody, even in that, has a different struggle. Chicane that everybody has a different life, and our struggles are, at least you know, right now, to the people in this room, the struggle is not should I have bacon in the morning, you know. Oh, we have other struggles, but everybody has a different struggle. Pirish kine, but in this world you have everything. Everybody is set up, and sometimes when we look at our lives and we say, well, why did my life turn out this way? Why did I have the parents I had? And why did I have the friends I have? And why did I live where I lived? And the answer is because that was your struggle. Everything is tailor-made for your neshama. Whom your parents are, where you live, where your parents from, were they not from, how did they raise you, how much or how little did they traumatize you. It's all structured for your neshama. I mean, really, it's... Yeah.
Okay, so that's when you're born, what happens to you. But let's say you choose to move to this neighborhood somewhere.
So you made a choice.
For you? No, that's your choice.
Well, it's, again, let's cheat a little into the Chovas Halvavas. it's your choice. If your accomplishment in life would not be accomplished in that place, so the Chavis HaLolot would say Hashem won't let you move there. It won't work out. Because you have to be living somewhere else in order for you to have... Yes, you can make bad choices. You can make bad choices, and that's very sad. You can make bad choices, such specifics. Sometimes, this is my personal opinion, deal with it. I don't like, when people make choices, it's what Hashem, wants them to do. Should I move to Russia and be Makariv, the Jews who live in Kiev, or should I sit in Kolel and learn? That's your choice, and you do it, your neshama. But think you're going to get what Hashem wants you. It doesn't work. It works with Averus and Mitzvahs. I don't believe, and you say, oh, my bus came late, I missed the flight. Hashem doesn't want me to do it like that. I don't believe that. That's my. You can't make decisions that are... So what do you... And as I'm talking about now, what am I supposed to accomplish in my life? So, the Hashem order accomplishment is mitzvahs and averus. Really, we're getting into a bigger picture, but I'm supposed to accomplish more than just that. I have, my neshama has its own struggles. But, this is a different topic. I'm here for much more than... Many, many hold that I'm here for much more than just to struggle with good and bad. But I really should not have opened up that topic. We'll stick with good and bad. Right. And if you choose to move to a neighborhood which is upscale, not every upscale neighborhood is bad, but if a person chooses to move to an upscale neighborhood where they're not so careful about the things that are nisyonos and this, so he got the answer for his choice. So he made his choice. What's going on in Shemayim? It depends on how much of the Chavis HaLolos you want to adopt. Did Hashem allow him to move there? Because his real struggle is to maintain a level of Ruchnius there in that upscale neighborhood. Yes. Or did he mess himself up? Because that's part of what Hashem allows you to do. You know, everybody agrees there is a rule, but there are the Mrotzum Leilech Molichen also. If you've heard that, it's a Rashi by Bilam. And the Gemara says it, it's a psak halacha, so to speak, in the Gemara. So some of the people, everybody has to agree that people make choices, and many times Hashem lets you go down that road. But again, choices should be made on the basis of right and wrong. If you're not dealing with right and wrong, you should go where Hashem feels, when you feel you want to go. So that's my opinion. Don't try to figure it out once. And it's like picking a profession, which the Chavis HaLolos said you should intuit what you're meant to do, what you're good at, what you enjoy, what gives you fulfillment. That's how you pick a job, the Chavis HaLolos says. Koshkein, if I want to decide, someone comes to me and says, you know, should I stay in Kaiol, or should I become a Rebbe, or should I go into business and become very, very rich and support a lot of yeshivas? So, you know, I don't... this is maybe... you have to do where your neshama leads you. You have to do what you think, what you will. I would use the same criteria. What do you cut out for? What gives you a sense? What do you think? Where do you see Chos HaNefesh lie? You know, because... You're being guided by wrong. Okay, so this is really a little off topic. But the point is, the funny thing is, the Ramchal glosses over all of this, that everybody's struggle is different. He just talks about the general struggle of mankind, that it's in this world, and everything exists in this world, all the pleasures of the world, all the enticements of the world, and we're living in an age of amazing technology. Amazing, amazing technology. So that's what it has to be used the right way. Some say we're not going to use it the right way and we should run away from it. Some have that mahalach. A kaponim, see, he says
there's the workplace and the vacation place, and Hashem makes each one perfect for that particular situation. In the workplace, you have the state-of-the-art machines, and in the vacation place, you have all the pleasures that you can possibly imagine. הנה מוכר שתמוצלי המלחומה שזוכרנו בין השכל והחומר לא יהיה לו דובר שיעקב את החומר מליש לו פלס וזה שלו כפי השיר הרוי לו. In other words, Hashem makes sure that that balance is always kept. Hashem can't, again, this is theoretical, that the Marishon changed the equation a bit, but here he's saying, it's balanced. So Hashem can't let the Chomer get the upper hand, and Hashem won't let the Chomer get the upper hand, and won't let the Seichel get the automatic opening. That's your struggle. Hashem keeps it balanced, it's imbalanced there, but the chait of the Marishon, because of the consequences of the state. But we're talking now, to whatever. It's balanced in the balance that Hashem wants it to be. And it's perfectly balanced. Like, say, state-of-the-art computer, state-of-the-art chair, state-of-the-art lighting. So everything is a state-of-the-art, that the Chomer and the Seichel is balanced. But again, everybody's balance is different. And everybody's... There's nothing that would stop the Chomer... Right? Obviously there is. I mean, if a person was born with no legs, obviously he's not able to do certain things and all of that, physical things. But again, his neshama was not supposed to struggle with that. His neshama had other struggles. Now, Hashem won't put me in a situation. So you say, well, what about all those people who are born to not strong parents? So that's not level. So again, level means for that neshama. Level means what that neshama is supposed to accomplish. We don't know. Right? That's the Bichtam Eliyahu, who has a very long piece about Bechira. About something called the Kudas HaBechira. Maybe you've heard of it, maybe many of you have learned it. He says, every person has a Kudas HaBechira, the murderer that's born into a band of murderers. I'm sorry, the Ganav that's born into a band of robbers, so he has to struggle with should he kill the guy or not. That's his Bechira, that's his struggle, that's his playing field. Should he kill or not? Right? Many of us do not struggle with Chilul Shabbos. It's like crazy, unheard of. We don't struggle with Avodah Zarah. We have more subtle forms of Avodah Zarah that we struggle with. But we struggle with biting our nails on Shabbos, let's say. That's what we're struggling with. So, he says there's nothing that gives the Seichel the upper hand or the Chomer the upper hand. He means for each individual. It doesn't mean everybody's life is a carbon copy of another person's life. It's not true, and it wouldn't be true. It's nothing favors. Whatever my struggle is, nothing favors the Chomer, and nothing favors the Seichel. It could be like the Michtam Eliyahu. My struggle is should I kill or not? So you say, well, yeah, but that's my struggle. Should I kill or not? So that's my seichel. My yitzah tells me not to kill. I shouldn't steal. I was raised in that environment where it's a perfectly normal thing to do. That's our parnasa, and that's how we get by. And it doesn't even occur to me that one shouldn't steal. That's what the Michtam Eliyahu talks about, that there are people who, and many people are not true, are raised in such an environment. And that's what he calls the Kudus HaMechira. So it's Bechidish that everybody has their own playing field. And it's above that, right? It's above that also. I don't have to say a person doesn't struggle to... I don't want to say anything good that you'll think it's beyond you. You can achieve anything you want or try to. I have the things that seem to be beyond the scope of my ruchnius, and something that seems that are or seem to be below the scope of my gashmius. Everything is balanced. Hashem wants it to be balanced. Yachol pishem itzad echad ha'yinir as a Yosef Tov. We say, yeah, why didn't Hashem give a little steroid shot that he hates a Tov? Because that would defeat the whole purpose. Because if you remember, we want the person to make his own choices, her own choices. We want the person to be the violent over their own spirituality. We don't want them to get a freebie. So anything that would affect that very delicate equation is not good. You may think it's good. Just like I think it's good if someone gives me a freebie. But it's not the real good. The real good is, as the Gemara says, when you toil for something and you achieve it, that's the real good. Then you deserve it. Then you have it. Then the pleasure is much more. That's even in this world we feel that. So close to the next world where we have the ultimate pleasure, but if it's a freebie, it's not the same as when it's... So you say, oh, but I would willingly trade, since that's the ultimate pleasure, so I would give up... So give me a low much rate of pleasure, as long as I'm in. So the Teretz is, we say that now, but we won't say it then. Then we'll be gnashing our teeth in frustration that we settled for so little. Could have had so much more. Why did I settle for so little? You know, if Yaakovana Hashem is the in my mitzvah of Adam, Shukniyas Hashleim was Behishtad Luso, becoming a shalim with my own efforts, and then it's told. It may look told, it feels told, but actually it's not. It's too easy. It was a handout. It was man kibbal ha-sachar ha-hu, and when we get the scar for our actions, in a royal lo shiyeh b'matzuv hoskil u'zeh. This is right, and when you're on vacation, so you don't have computers, and you don't have the office desk, and you don't have the lighting, you have a completely different situation, the opposite. In a kol, because you have what's appropriate for the neshama. You have the best faculties for gashmius to reign, ruchnius to reign supreme. Because if Chomer would be around then, it would block and muddy and interfere with not to connect with Hashem. Again, he told me at the Tchias HaMesach. That's why he says the Chomer will be tacked on, will be a subsidiary of the neshama, but ofreshlo yakev al yod klal. So it won't muddy the neshama. Down here, the goof muddies the neshama, the goof blocks the neshama, the goof stymies the neshama. But blessed love, it will be the shoe will be on the other foot, so to speak. The neshama will be doing things to the goof to raise it above its level of physicality. Whether it's gravity or being hungry or needing sleep or getting married and having a family, it has its rules, and we have to play along with those rules, or else we can't exist in this world and we wouldn't be in the makom of struggle at all.
Well, there's a question.
Thank you. Wait, let me finish the sentence, please. We'll finish paragraph 4. Hey, ma sheroi lo'odam kol zman ha'hishtadlus. Those rules, well, not only you have to eat, you have to have money, and to get money you have to go out to work. So its rules is necessary and appropriate for this time of struggle. Olam haba, hamokam b'chukim shelo, has its own set of rules, its own reality. Hey, ma sheroi lo b'zman kibul aschar. And that's appropriate for that period of time. That's kufa. Yeah.
Said that you prefer doing what you feel rather than guessing what Hashem wants you to do, but we always make choices according to what Hashem wants us to do.
That's good and bad. Certainly, Chas V'Shalom, it's good and bad is Hashem. Hashem tells us what to do, Hashem tells us what not to do. We have the mitzvahs governing our behavior. But if I want to decide, as I said, if I should go into Kiruv or become a fifth grade Rebbe, or heaven help us, the Rebbe Shul. So others don't see things this way. My children, same thing. I don't like that. I'm going to guess what Hashem wants me to do. I don't know what Hashem wants me to do. And then they start, as I said, you know, I missed the bus, and that's a simon to stop at Nichush and Kishuf. You know, how do I know what Hashem wants me to do? I believe you should follow the same set of rules that the Chavis HaLavos gives you for picking a profession to earn money with. See what you're good at, what gives you satisfaction, what makes you feel fulfillment, and it should be a constructive thing. So that's what Chavis HaLavos says about a job. He's not talking about constructive spiritually even. He's talking about, you know, don't say, okay, I'm good at gambling, and therefore I enjoy it, and it gives me satisfaction, so I'm going to be a gambler. It's a very good point, but it doesn't meet the third criteria. There should be something constructive. Except for Mas Hakhnasa, maybe, I don't know. It's not really constructive, so that's where it fails the test of the three things. But here also, you know, and the Chavis HaLavos has a very strange lashon. He speaks very mystically, a very down-to-earth person, Chavis HaLavos. He says, when you think about these things, what you're good at, what gives you satisfaction, what gives you fulfillment, and what's constructive, your neshama will lead you to the right place. Your neshama will tell you what to do. This is what I really want to do. So I think it's the same here. You know, should I go to Kiev or become a fourth grade Rebbe in a day school, or stay in Kollel for that matter? Although others would say if you can't stay in Kollel, you have to stay in Kollel. But again, that is true if you're learning with the same brand that you learned the first year you were married, the second year you were married. But just stay in Kollel, maybe Hashem. You know, so you have to think what you want to do. Really, I want to go out and teach. I've learned so much, now it's time to teach, which is a very legitimate thought. I've taken from my Rebbeim, I've taken from my Chavrusa, and now I want to give. Or I want to go into Kiruv. If you, let's say, buy into, let's say, Lubavitch theology, call it, or Esh HaTorah theology, that everybody has this overriding imperative to be Makariv and to bring our lost brethren back. Okay, if you feel that way, go do it. Go do it. You know, and maybe that's good for your neshama. And if you're born into a family of Shluchim, say Lubavitch, or you're born in, you know, or you're in Esh HaTorah, and that's your influence, that already Hashem did. Hashem sets up that your neshama is in the place where it will be able to do what it's supposed to do. But certainly, Hashem determines that's only good and bad. Averus and mitzvahs. Yeah. Okay, we'll stop here. In the summer, I'm going to have to run out and not take any questions and stop 2 minutes early because mincha is 1 o'clock. And we'll leave it to Mrs. Nolte to decide. We probably should leave it at 12:15. We don't want to change the air. It'll confuse everybody if we have a different starting point. So Mitzvah Hashem Sunday.
Sunday.
Okay, you'll excuse me while I figure this out.